Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and this is a show where we talk about subjects which are critical to our happiness and spiritual evolution. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room on next week's show, as well as posted on my website, which is davidgagan.com, hopefully within a day or so of the show. When you visit the site, you can ask additional questions, even about other shows. You can listen to any previous show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com by searching for either David Gagan or Common Sense Spirituality. I've also launched a new podcast titled Aspects of Spirituality, which is also on iHeartRadio. There I explain my worldview and what I've learned about the mysteries of life in short weekly podcasts. I hope you'll join me there. Consciousness is a new frontier for science, and there is no accepted theory of what it is or how it works. The ancient wisdom says that all of nature is conscious, and that consciousness starts out as a group consciousness, but by the time it evolves into human state, consciousness has individualized. Exactly where that happens is not precisely known. Obviously, the animal world is conscious. But does that include the plant world? There have been a number of studies done, like lie detector tests, which seem to imply that plants have emotions. In fact, when you analyze how plants react to their environment, it's easy to think that plants can even think. Plant intelligence is the topic of today's show, and our guest is Pamela Montgomery, author of Plant Spirit Healing. Miss Montgomery has been investigating the spiritual nature of plants for 30 years. She is the founding member of the Northeast Herbal Association and is on the advisory board of the United Plant Savers. She is also author of Plant Earth, A Spiritual Ecology, and a contributing author of Planting the Future. Pamela Montgomery, welcome to the show, Pam.
Well, thank you very much, David. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Now, you wrote Plant Spirit Healing. Why did you write that book?
Well, it's because it's really about my experience with the plants and experience with my students who in the classes that I teach. And so I wrote the book because it was pretty much the plants who wanted the book written, to be honest. It's like when the plants say, okay, it's time to do this, it's like then you have to do what they tell you to do. So I was just following instructions, and I felt like it was, you know, there's a lot of work out there. There's a lot written about communicating with animals and about, you know, in the whole shamanic world, it's really kind of focused with animal helpers and guides. And I felt like, well, wait a minute, there's this whole other segment of life, which is plants and trees, that have consciousness as well, that are guides and helpers as well. And I felt like, why isn't anybody writing about this? And so that was the other reason, is I just felt like this information needs to get out there because it's quite there's it's quite prevalent. I mean, the plants are everywhere, and we wouldn't be here without them. So might as well start really understanding them and their whole beingness instead of just, you know, just a narrow aspect of who they are.
Okay. Now, a lot of people are going to say, you know, hey, this is a bit strange, you know, the plants having consciousness and such. So this is different for what a lot of people believe. So let's start out by you know, tell me, you know, what activities makes plants, you know, as sophisticated as animals? What, you know, what are the type of things that you see them do that maybe most people don't think about very often?
Well, I think what's really important for people to kind of begin to wrap their heads around, and then we can say, you know, what the plants do specifically, but is the relationship between plants and people, and just to understand that plants have been here for a very, very long time. You know, I say they have a long view. It's like plants, you know, it really started about 3 billion years ago, not million, but billion. And, you know, plants had to make decisions. They had to make decisions about how to begin to reproduce and inherit certain traits and ghost and begin the whole thing that we call photosynthesis, which is, you know, you working with the energy of the sun in order to create tissue. And so it's really important to understand that these plants and trees and sea vegetables, just to be clear, the ocean has a lot of these plants as well, have been around for a very long time. And comparatively speaking, I mean, if you wanted to look at when the first humanoid kind of appeared, which is about 15 million years ago, but really Homo sapiens only about 500,000 years ago. So it, comparatively speaking, plants have been here. They really, the photosynthetic process was complete 2.3 billion years ago. So it's important to understand that these plants have been evolving since then, and they represent 99% of all living organisms on the planet. So what does that tell you? That tells you they are successful. That tells you they've been through a lot of time, and they've been through a lot of environmental change on this planet, and they have survived to the point of being the most predominant living organisms on the planet, way more than humans, and here much, much longer. So here we have these beings, these living organisms that make oxygen. It's the only way that oxygen is made is from plants. They take the energy of the sun and transform that into you know, their tissue, which then has, you know, proteins and carbohydrates and all of and that we eat. So they do that. We don't make tissue from sunlight. Plants make tissue from sunlight. And then we eat the plants. Plants are the original food here on the planet, the wild plants. We eat the plants, which then gives us our tissue and our nutrient and all of that. All of our oxygen comes from plants. So, you know, our basic physical needs are, you know, oxygen and food are met by plants. And then the other thing to understand, so this is kind of gets into what the plants do, and they've been doing this for a long time, like I said, way back when they had to make decisions. So, you know, plants had to make decisions about how to inherit, how to reproduce, how to communicate with each other, how to organize themselves. So there's this understanding that what we might call higher mind or consciousness, you know, that, you know, being aware of yourself. That's what, you know, consciousness is like, you know, you become aware of yourself. Well, plants had to become aware of themselves and had to make decisions about how to move forward in the future, about how to evolve. And some of the science now would say that it was that decision-making. So it was decision-making about, you know, how to interpret their environment and how to live within their environment, you know, signaling systems, intricate signaling systems to like alert their neighbors to predators or to something that might be of danger to them, being able to forage and compete for resources. They also have these very large protein molecules, much larger than ours, and the protein molecules are what store the data. It's like the information comes in and it gets stored in the protein molecules. Plants have very large protein molecules, much bigger than us. So very, very, you know, again, we're talking millions of years, billions of years ago, they made these decisions. And it was all also to remember these decisions to set future intentions of intelligent choice. Now, that almost sounds like a brain, although we're not talking that plants have brains, even though I think Darwin talked about root tip, you know, the root tips, the brain of the root tip or something like that. He talked about that. But so the idea here is that in science right now, there's this theory that our higher mind, our conscious awareness evolved from plants because plants did it first, and then we evolved. And the other thing to remember is that, you know, the animal counterparts of plants evolved prior to their animal counterparts. So, for example, mammals, which have, you know, internal reproductive organs, angiosperms in plants, angiosperms, which are flowering plants, have internal reproductive organs. Angiosperms evolved before mammals did because they had to be on the planet before mammals because mammals needed something to eat. So just to say, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but just to say.
Well, it certainly gets it started.
There's no question about it. Right. Well, so it's just this, it's this important to understand that these plants, we would call it biointelligence, you know, there's this living conversation, so to speak, with the natural world. And, you know, we can access this biointelligence through our hearts, through our sensorial awareness. And so as far as, you know, how plants, the kinds of things that they do, I mean, it's, you know, they have, like you say, you mentioned the lie detector, which was Cleve Baxter way back in the day. He was a lie detector guy, and it was just kind of out of a whim, so to speak. He said, let's just hook up these plants. And then he realized that these plants were having reactions to his emotions and then to some of his students' emotions. So the kind of famous experiment that he did was, there was a group of students, and in a different part of the building, they were separated by, you know, space in the building. There was, and different plants, so different species of plants. It wasn't even the same species of plants, so the plants were not related as far as species goes. One of the students, which nobody knew who it was, nobody knew who he was, lit a match to the leaf of one of the plants. And so the plant reacts to that. So then you take a whole group of students into another part of the building with another plant. You walk these students past this other plant. Nobody knows who the guy is who lit the match. Walk, and that plant in another part of the building that is a different species has an enormous reaction on the lie detector when the guy who damaged the other plant walks past them. So this plant knew, you know, this goes beyond time and space, really. It's this plant knew who the person was that did the damage. Now how's that work? And so that was the one that brought the big question up. It's like, oh, so plants have a reaction, and some would call it an emotional reaction, but that plant knew which student lit the match to the other plant that they're not even related, botanically speaking, and yet they are related because, you know, they're plants, and somehow they are communicating with each other to let, you know, Cleve Baxter in this case, because the plant was hooked up to the detector, it had made a reaction on the lie detector. It knew. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, what kind of intelligence is going on here? What kind of communication is happening here?
So let me get this straight. The student, they had a lie detector test on the plant that was set on fire, the leaf that was set on fire, or just the one that was in the other room?
Just the one that was in the other room. The one that was in the other room was hooked up to a light, you know, with the electrodes and everything on the leaves, was hooked up to a lie detector. No, the other one wasn't hooked up. No.
Yeah. Okay. So that clearly, and I had read about that quite a while ago, a number of years ago, and it kind of blew me away, quite frankly. And it implies a lot of things, and it certainly implies intelligence, and in plants, and of course, you know, we think of intelligence, you know, as having a brain. But the more we look at it and the more science looks at it, it's pretty clear that our intelligence, you know, after the body dies and the brain dies, we still have intelligence, which would imply that our real intelligence is in our spirit and not in our brain. Brain's more of an interface. So I don't have any problem with understanding how a brain might, or a plant might have intelligence. If it didn't have a brain, it must have some way of communicating between the, you know, if it's got a spirit, and the actual plant and the interface. And I'm sure there's a number of places in there that it can. But let's talk about its intelligence a little bit. How intelligent are these plants? Are they just barely getting by, or are they highly intelligent?
They're actually highly intelligent. I think they're way more intelligent than we are. So I look at it and go, plants aren't destroying the planet. Humans are, just to say. So it just makes me feel like, we have a lot to learn from these plants, because plants have been adapting to their changing environment for, 3 billion years. And I think, and they're still here. And they're still, and what they do, it's called the Gaia effect. And the Gaia effect is that plants adjust the amount of carbon dioxide they uptake depending on what's going on within their environment. So the fact is, there would be more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere right now if plants weren't here adjusting all the time, adjusting. Now, there comes a tipping point too, which that's a whole nother story about what's happening with the climate. But the plants are working kind of like working overtime to keep a oxygen-rich biosphere, one that they established 2.3 billion years ago. They established an oxygen-rich environment biosphere where life could live. And they have been adapting to it and adjusting it since then, and continue to do that. Now, I think that's pretty intelligent, and way more intelligent than what we're doing to the biosphere. So, so there's that. There's this. They, like I said, they have these abilities to. I mentioned this before. They have abilities to make decisions about their environment and then adapt to the environment. Now, the other thing is that this whole idea of communication, which is clearly communication, interspecies amongst themselves, interspecies, and then there's the communication with other species. So then there's communication with animals, there's communication with humans. So there's this ability of the plants, a very high ability to communicate. And
how do we know that? What are some of the examples that you would have to say that a plant can communicate with an animal?
Well, okay, so this is some of the kind of really leading edge science that I find so fascinating, and what's for me, it's like my own experiential work with the plants. It's like the science is kind of catching up now. I mean, and this is stuff that's been known for a long time in the kind of indigenous cultures, people who live close to the earth, who haven't left the earth, those folks, which there's not too many of them left anymore, but there are some pockets. But people who have lived closely to the earth have this understanding. So, and then my experience and my experience of my students is this, and now the science is catching up and is kind of verifying some of this. So I find it very fascinating. So basically, in the biological world, the foundational way that communication takes place in the entire biological world is through light and sound. And light and sound carries a vibratory resonance. There's a vibration, there's a resonance there, which our bodies can sense. It's like a felt sensation. There's a sensation of this. And the understanding is, at this point in time, and this is in the research, there's a man by the name of Fritz Popp, P-O-P-P, Fritz Popp, and he's a German biophysicist, and so he's been doing a lot of this very incredible work. And basically what he discovered was at the nucleus of the cell, so we're talking at the DNA level, there are what's called biophotons and biophonons, so light and sound, and that there's a particular pattern of light at the nucleus of the cell that is a healthy cell. A healthy cell has a particular pattern, and then, of course, has a particular vibratory sound that makes a sound. Now, when you say, well, wait a minute, I can't see all that light and I can't hear all that sound. It's because we hear and see in a very narrow band in the spectrum. So we're not hearing and seeing with our eyeballs and with our ears the whole spectrum. So what's happening is that an unhealthy cell, Fritz would say, the light goes awry. So the pattern of the light shifts and changes. And so what he's doing is he's transferring, and I'm imagining it's through a machine, the light of certain plants to unhealthy cells. And the light of the plant, the vibratory resonance, the frequency of the light, you know, frequency has to do with wavelength and then
right.
Amplitude and all that. So that's, you know, you can see something red because of the length of the wave and the amplitude of the wave. So he's giving this, you know, of a particular plant, whatever it may be at the time, the light to an unhealthy cell so that the plant's light repatterns the cell toward health. Now, to me, that's pretty leading edge, and that's pretty darn intelligent, that a plant can change the pattern of the light at the DNA level toward health.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. The plants. So what you're saying is that plants have a spirit. Does each plant have an individualized spirit, or is it a group spirit across a number of plants? You know, plants of the same kind.
It's kind of both. It's really a both and situation because the understanding is that this particular spirit, and when we say spirit, I'm referring to like the vital principle held to give life. That's how I describe spirit. It's the vital principle. It's that which makes life live, and it's holographic in nature, meaning that, you know, you've got the big picture. So you've got the big picture, the big kahuna of spirit or great spirit or whatever you want to call it. But you've got the hologram of like spirit in the big level. And then when you take what a hologram is when you take out a part of the big spirit and you take a piece of that out, the whole is contained within it. So when we're talking about spirits of plants, you know, the spirit of dandelion is very uniquely different than the spirit of violet. Of course, they're very different in their uniqueness, just the same way that you and I, we have our own unique gifts that we bring forward. And so that's our unique that's our unique piece of the whole of spirit. But we have the whole contained within us too. So we relate on this kind of collective level because we all contain the whole. We all contain the whole of spirit, and at the same time, we have our unique aspect that we bring forward. So it's the same with the plants. It's that, yes, there's a spirit of dandelion. And then the question is like, well, is the spirit of the dandelion in my yard different than the spirit of the dandelion in your yard? I mean, generally speaking, it's on a species level, so it's dandelion. But my dandelion is exposed to a different environment than your dandelion is. And the environment has an effect. So it's kind of this, you know, it's a little bit hard to wrap your head around it, but it's really that we've got big spirit that is contained in everything. The whole is contained in the part, which is what hologram is. So you've got the part, which is the unique representation, the unique aspect of the whole, and the whole is there. And then I've got my dandelion that is affected by the environment that I live in. I live in a very rural country environment. That's going to be different than somebody's dandelion who's coming up through the city's sidewalk crack. It is still dandelion, but it's also affected by its environment. Did that kind of get close to your question?
Well, let's keep working on it.
Okay.
Personality.
I can talk about it all day long, by the way.
All right. Let's talk about your dandelion. Does the dandelion that is in your yard, a single dandelion, or the single dandelion that's in this, you know, that pops up in a city street, does it have a personality?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, but, yeah. So plants, yeah, okay, so this is the way I kind of describe it. It's, and I use the analogy of a house. So you've got you've got the house, you've got the structure of the house, you've got the architectural design of the house, which is like, you could look at that and that would be like on the soul level. So I feel that plants have heart, soul, and spirit. And boy, have I gotten in some lengthy, heated discussions about this one. But so the house is like, you've got that architectural design. So it's like the over, some would call it, and on a plant level, they would call it the devic aspect, a devic aspect, which is kind of the architectural design. Then you've got the personality of the house. You've got, so I would refer to this as the heart of the plant. You've got the pictures on the walls and the kind of furniture you have. So plants have chemical constituents, you know, different ones have different constituents. They do different things. Some are edible, some aren't, some are medicinal, some aren't. But pretty much all plants have something, they have some gift that they bring. There's something, reason that they're here for. And then you have who lives in the house. And who lives in the house is the spirit. This is the spirit of all of it. So you've got, what is that living aspect within the plant? That's the spirit of the plant. That's the part that really, you know, again, I'll say the vital principle held to give life, that which makes life live. So you've got these aspects. You've got the personality of the plant, which is, you know, its kind of physical components and how it works and how it behaves. And then you've got this soul aspect, kind of this overarching kind of, you know, design, which is like on a species level, this is this plant on this bigger level. And then you've got the spirit of the plant, which is the life-giving part, the part that holds its life. Does that make sense?
To a certain extent.
So we're still working on getting there, right?
we're still working on getting there. Okay. Let's talk about evolution. Plant. You say plants are evolving, and I assume that it's the spirit or soul of the plant that is doing the evolving. Is that correct?
Well, you know, we could say that, but
okay. But you're saying that the physical plant could be evolving as well.
Absolutely.
And that's probably true. Because just like animals, you know, they're evolving as well.
Yeah, it's all connected. Okay. It's, you know, so we can try to talk about it in separate, like little separate things, like the analogy of the house. We're talking about it in very separate, but you can't really separate that all out. The house is the house, you know. And one aspect, you know,
let's think about where the plant's going. If it's evolving, does it stay, you know, over eons of time, does the plant spirit stay a plant, or does it evolve into an animal, or does the animal evolve into a plant, or is it a parallel evolution all the way up? Any thoughts on that?
Okay.
Were we a plant? Was our soul a plant at one time, a plant soul?
Well, that's a really good question. Well, I think we evolved from the plants. I think our kin, our ancestors, are plants, not animals. I mean, everybody wants you to think you came from an ape. And I'm not saying that there's not some relational, you know, similarities. I'm not saying that. But where did we get our oxygen from? Where did we get our tissue from? Where did, you know, decision-making process come from? Where and then we haven't even gotten to like the emotional relational between plants, and I mean there's a whole nother thing about what's called biophilia, which is the basically the love of nature is how you could translate it. But this whole understanding is that we have been in association with plants since day one, and that, you know, because of our close proximity to plants and our symbiotic relationship. We are very symbiotically related to plants. We wouldn't be on this planet if it wasn't for plants, period. We would not have our life. We would not have food. We would not have oxygen. We would not have tissue. We would not be here if it wasn't for plants. So that's a given. So we've got symbiosis and we've got a long time history with plants. So the understanding is that, and actually what's happening right now is there's a sense, we're genetically, it's actually within our genes, that we are genetically predisposed towards biophilia, meaning that because of the symbiosis and because of the long-term association, there's an inherent need to be in close proximity to nature. And once we start to remove ourselves from that on a pretty regular basis, moving to a city or whatever it might be, we're really disconnected, well, then things start to get a little chaotic and sickness sets in and emotional dis-ease sets in and a whole slew of things begin to happen once we separate ourselves from that which gives us our life, from that which sustains us. So, here's the other thing, on a spiritual level, talking about evolution, is that plants have always evolved prior to their animal counterparts. And so I look at that and say, okay, what's our evolution now? Where are we now? Where are human beings right now in our evolution? Well, it would be a really good to evolve to the point at which we stop killing each other and killing the planet. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, that'd be a pretty good evolution to come to right about now. And so it's a spiritual evolution. It's a consciousness evolution. It's a raising the consciousness to the level at which we are going to participate in this thing called life and let life live. And that is spirit, the vital principle held to give life. So it's a spiritual evolution right now. Okay, so then I look at that and say, okay, well, what are the plants like? And then I say, oh yeah, well, like around about in the, well, you know, 60s for sure, but maybe even sooner than that, there was this huge explosion in interest in plants on, like, you know, altering brainwaves and psychedelics and psychotropic plants and all of that, which kind of opened the doors of perception and wide open. And so we had all that happening. And then we had, you know, then we had we have flower essences, which is, you know, Edward Bach. He brought forward the whole thing of, like, working with plants. There's no chemical constituents in a flower essence. It is strictly the vibratory resonance of the plant. It's the signature of the plant that you're bringing into your body. Then there's this huge explosion right now of plant spirit healing. I mean, you never heard those words. 10 years ago, maybe 15, you know, there'd be some talk about plant spirits, but not really. This is very new. And so I look at this, and there's another evolution of working with plants, common plants, dandelion, nettle, mugwort, common everyday plants, and working with them in an initiatory way, similar to how you might work with ayahuasca or something like that, but we're talking common plants. And these common plants working in a ceremonial context are bringing people to another level of understanding.
Let's talk about plant healing a little bit more. I mean, I think most everybody will agree that the physical part of a plant has been used for healing for as long as mankind's been around. But what you're saying is that there is a spiritual healing that takes place. Yes. From plant. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Well, okay. So to kind of continue this thought is that, again, the plants evolve prior to humans. So what's happening right now is that the plants have kind of stepped up to the plate and are evolving on that spiritual level. And then here we come along and we're starting to wake up and go, oh, there's a spiritual evolution here that we're involved in right now. But the plants initiated it. So what I'm seeing, with these plant initiations, this is kind of a good example of this, is that people, you know, used to be in indigenous cultures and in cultures that lived close to the land, there was an initiation process. And that meant that human beings, young people usually, you know, once you became of age, you would be initiated into the tribe. And you had the elders and they're initiating you. Well, and that meant that when you go through an initiation, you learn how, you know what it means now to live within the collective or the tribe. So here we are, a bunch of uninitiated human beings, adults right now. You know, initiation process is pretty much over with in our culture anyway. Maybe there's a few minor little remnants here and there, but basically it's over with. So I look at that and I say, okay, where are the elders? Most of the elders are gone too. There's a few here and there, but most of the elders are gone now too, so that we don't have some, you know, the elders bringing us forward. So who are the elders? Who are our kin? Who's going to initiate us? So the plants are stepping up to the plate. This is part of their evolution. This is part of the plants' evolution, is on a spiritual level to kind of step up to the plate and say, okay, we are the elders. We will initiate you into what it means to be truly human and to be able to live within the collective. So in these plant initiations that we're doing, 3 days, basically we're fasting throughout the whole time, making a, we call it an elixir, but different parts of the plants, putting it together. Throughout the 3 days, we're drinking a little bit of it. And we're doing all kinds of things with the plants. We're doing journeys with the plants. We're doing felt sensation. We're working with light and sound with the plants. We're doing dismemberment kinds of work. We're doing green breath with the plant. We're doing all these different things with the plant. And what the plants are doing, one plant, we're working with one, all of us together are working with one plant. And we're going very deeply with this one plant. And this one plant is helping to initiate us into what it means to be truly human and taking up our rightful role within nature and within the collective of the humans. So these plants are aware that humans need to get it together and quickly now. You know, it's like I say, the, you know, dress rehearsal's over, the curtain's going up, and we're on stage, and we got to get on with it here now. It's like no more time to rehearse. It's like, let's get on with it. And the plants are the ones that are stepping up to say, okay, you all need to evolve right now. You need to get your consciousness together. You need to evolve spiritually. Here we go. We're here. Just prior to you, we've stepped up to the plate to become the elder, to initiate you into what it means to be human and to evolve spiritually. And we're here to do that with you. You know, if you can open yourself up to this possibility, that this is even a possibility. But what I'm telling you is that we're doing initiations all the time and have been for the last few years. And amazing things are happening. Truly amazing things. So,
Pam, do you think that humans have a pre-life planning process that they go through before they incarnate?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Do like
soul contract
plants? Do plants have a pre-life planning process?
Well, that's a pretty good question. Actually, one of the things that I'm understanding right now is that I'm not quite sure this is exactly what you're asking, but there are new plants appearing right now. And there's a whole philosophy about the reseeding of the earth. And the reseeding of the earth is not just being reseeded with folks coming from other planetary systems. It's not just that, but it's literally a reseeding of the earth that with plants, and that there's new plants coming in that will be for this new time period, for this new you know, era that we're moving into, that these plants are that there's a reseeding. So yes, I do think that maybe
each plant comes down with a purpose that it wants to accomplish, which would be your pre-life planning.
Absolutely. Each plant has its own unique gift, just like you and I have. You know, we're born into this with particular gifts, and you know, that's our job is to bring our gifts forward. But yeah, absolutely. Plants, each one of them is different and has their own thing that they're here to do. And you know, I would even say that, you know, my plant allies and the ones that are going to help me might be different than yours, and that you have your own, and that too may be predetermined.
Do we have a soul contract with plants? Like you might with a soulmate?
I think so. I mean, I have a white pine is white pine tree is one of my main plants, and I don't know if you want to hear this story. It's kind of interesting how this, you know, it's kind of how the plants work is kind of like, wow, it kind of blows your mind sometimes. But I happened to find myself in England after the volcano went off, and I was teaching. I didn't even know, you know, I got to London and here I'm supposed to be flying out the next morning. It's like, oops, no airplanes. Oh, well. And so I needed to get, I was like, you had no idea when you were going to get home. And so I needed to get myself back to Ireland because I have friends in Ireland. And I thought, well, I'm going to go stay with somebody who cares about me instead of in some skanky hotel in London. So I have all my bags and, you know, I'm dragging everything and I go to the desk and I say to the woman, so I need to take a boat to Ireland and I need to get to this train to get to the boat. Oh yeah, she said, go out and stand on the corner and take the red bus. Okay, so I go out to the corner, I'm standing there, and guess what? All the buses are red.
And I know. I was just going to say that before you said
that. Oh, no. They're all red. What do I do? And I stood on that corner, big tears. You know, here you are. You're stranded in another country. Thank God they speak English there. And I was stranded there with all, and like, how was I going to get home? What was I going to do? And I said, okay. And I stood there in that moment, and I was like, and white pine for me is like, I call it tower of strength. It, like, I stand, it makes me stand tall and straight. My shoulders go back because these trees are big and they're tall and they're so powerful and there's so much strength. So I was like, okay, white pine, I need your help and I need it now. And because I am in a situation that I don't know what to do and I need help and I need strength and I'm about to lose it right here. So please, please help me. And here comes a nice businessman walking up the street of Indian descent, Indian, dark-skinned, nice little suit on, comes walking up, sees that I'm in distress, and says, is there something I can do to help you? And I was like, yeah, I need to go to Ireland. And he said, and I said, I need to take a bus that takes me to a train that takes me to a boat. And he says, oh, well, you need to catch this bus and da-da-da. And I said, wait. No, I said, I need to write this down. And he said, well, no, I'll take you. And I was like, you know, then I heard the little voice in my head, which was my mother's, don't ever go off with a stranger. And so I just took a minute. I turned away and I was like, okay, do I go with this guy or don't I? And I felt into my heart and my heart went ping and I went, yes. And so I turned around and said, okay, let's go. So we get on the right bus. He takes me to the train. He helps me buy my ticket. He walks me out to the platform. And he says, now don't forget, you have to change trains here and then you'll make it to the boat that'll take you to Ireland. And up till this point, I didn't even know his name. And then I said, wait, what's your name? And he said, oh, Hans. And I was like, okay, here's a British businessman, dark-skinned from India, named Hans. Okay, all right, let's see, I wonder, was that an angel? Like, who was that anyway? So it was this whole experience of, I asked for help, and I said, I need it now. And it appeared within less than a minute. I got to Ireland, and then the rest of this amazing story is that was when my friend, Carol, was doing a plant initiation. And this is where I first learned about plant initiation. She was doing primrose for the spring, and I was there to help her harvest the plants and to help her make the elixir and to help her. So that was my first exposure to the plant initiations. Now, I couldn't even make up this story if I wanted to, but this is how the plants work. It's like boom, 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 boom. It was time for me to learn about initiation. Who would have guessed it would became from a volcano going off? I mean, and so this is kind of how they work. It's like, yeah, Once you engage in this level with them of co-creative partnership, because that's what it is. We're in this partnership together. And once you engage in that co-creative way, it's like they create the environment. They set up the environment for you to heal, to grow, to whatever it is that you need. It's like they create the environment for it to take place.
So how do you communicate with plants? Is it basically thought?
I'm sorry, that was all crackly, so I didn't really hear what you said.
How do you communicate with plants? Is it through thought?
What you want to say to them, and then you receive a thought. Is that how you communicate?
Well, communication can take place in so many different ways. It's, like I said earlier, the kind of foundational biological world, the way that the understanding is that communication takes place is through light and sound, which creates a felt sensation in your body. So for me, I like to pay attention to what's going on in my body. And so what I'll do is I receive a felt sensation, the vibratory resonance of the plant in my body. I identify it. It's called putting a handle on it. I put a handle on it so that I can call it back up, so I can call up that vibratory resonance again. And it's like the plants have a greater ability than we do to fine-tune their resonance to us. So that, again, this is all in the science. This is not my new agey concept. This is for real, is that plants have a very high ability to fine-tune their vibratory resonance to yours. So if you can just kind of get yourself out of the way in a certain sense, if you can like let go of the distraction, let go of the static or whatever it may be, and allow yourself to have a sensation, a felt sensation of that plant's resonance, and you can identify it, you can name it, you can be really clear about what that resonance is, then you... Next time you're with that plant, or you want to call that plant up, you don't even need to be in physical presence with the plant. You can call that resonance up, and what happens is that you can begin to vibrate yourself at that resonant level, so that it's kind of like the old expression, being on the same wavelength. You know, there's something to that. The wavelength is such that you can start to either be in synchronicity, meaning you're on the same wavelength, but synchronicity is about an octave apart in sound wise, but you're riding that same wave, and then there's a point at which the two waves can merge, and at that point it's called resonance matching. You're matching the resonance of the plant. The plant is matching your resonance, and together you're riding that same wave. So then it's like looking out from the eyes of the plant. It's like there's no separation. And this is where, and so then there you are, and you can have that communication instantaneously. And communication comes in so many different ways. It may come by, a sensation that you have, or a thought that goes marching through, or something comes up on the radar screen, or maybe in your environment, there's something happening within your environment, which I call that the daydream of the plant. So you're in the daydream of the plant, and you're paying attention to every single thing that's going on around you. And all of that is like, it's like pieces of the puzzle, and you begin to fit the puzzle together. So it comes in different ways. Dreams, it comes in dreams, nighttime dreams, daydreams, or in shamanic journey type work. Like if you're working with you're journeying with with an instrument or something, and you're visiting the plant through your breath. That's another way. You do this whole breathing thing with the plant. You're exchanging breath. It's an exchange. You're breathing in oxygen and out carbon dioxide. The plant's breathing in carbon dioxide and out oxygen. It's pretty simple. It's a simple exchange. So it comes in many, 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 many different ways. There's no one way. Okay. And it's different for different people.
We have about run out of time, unfortunately, because I haven't run out of questions. But why don't you tell the listeners how they can, how they can find out about you and your book and what you're doing?
Okay. Well, my website, it's a big long word, so it's Partner Earth Education Center. So partnereartheducationcenter.com. You can also just Google my name and I'll come up. My book is Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness, which you can purchase that off the website or in pretty much any bookstore. You can see what kind of classes are going on, but we're doing some yarrow is the big plant we're going to do this year for a plant initiation around solstice time. But there's other work that we do here. I live in Vermont, and people come here for classes. I teach other places too. I'll be in England this year. I'll be in California. I'll be in Canada. I'll be in Australia. So I travel around quite a bit too. But yeah, so okay. come and visit us.
Hey, that's great. Pamela Montgomery, thank you so much for being with us, Pam. It has been absolutely fascinating from my perspective.
Okay, well, thanks so much, David.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes of both The Common Sense Spirituality Show and Aspects of Spirituality on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.